unmistakable voices of B.B. King, of course, on guitar, and Tracy Chapman, who also plays guitar and, of course, is on vocals, with The Thrill Is Gone. This is actually a music video that they both performed on live. It was done in 1997 for Geffen Records. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're picking up from where we left off with each other yesterday. We were discussing what is being discussed. It's the hottest story in quite a long time. And what is that story? The story has to do with this president and whether it should be the case that the Congress should move immediately to impeach him for all the reasons that we have been talking about. But, you know, more and more things are coming out. I'm of two minds on this one, actually. I think I've discussed with you my own disappointment, absolute disappointment with political stuff in this country. It's reached a low point. You know, I have no desire to involve myself in it because it has become so corrupted. It has become so much the case. We're seeing the lines of demarcation becoming deeper and deeper as to who matters in the political realm. And more you get the feeling that there's a very tight circle and they are the ones who matter. We, the people, are just lemmings. All we're required to do is to show up and cast votes for the person who spends the most money trying to persuade us that we should vote for him or her. But as an integral part of our everyday life in society, you don't get the feeling that people, the regular working people, matter much, if at all. So I'm not mesmerized by what's going on in Washington, although it is very, very important. But I am, you know, keeping perspective. And the perspective is essentially that, you know, the two wings of the same bird are having a quarrel, as usual. It's a huge quarrel. It's important to pay attention to it because it will have ramifications. But it isn't meant to include us as a, you know, an organic thing. We're not part of this. So we are observing from afar a process that's unfolding that may not involve us at all. And this has been the norm. At least for people of color, this is what we are used to. The people who matter in this country take care of business. And if we are needed, they send out a signal. You may join us now and for specific purposes. And then, you know, just politely recede into the background while we take care of business and while we run things. That's essentially what I surmise and what I have become accustomed to in terms of this business called politics in the United States. It's sad, but this is the reality. It is not a vibrant democracy at all. It is not designed to be inclusive. So we take a kind of curious view from afar as to how things are unfolding and to what degree we may be included in the mess. And for that reason, we pay attention to the news. We pay attention to the news because we want to keep track of just how dire the situation might become, that it would actually need us to play a role. But other than that, you know, we're not asked to play any roles at all, except show up and vote for whomever we're told to vote for, and then get lost. At least that's my crude analysis of what politics has become in the United States. And at this point, the critical issue, as Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader, says, it's a crisis, a constitutional crisis brings us to this point. We have a president who is basically ignoring the rule of law, doing whatever he wants. His administration is following his lead, and they too are ignoring or flouting the rule of law. And at some point, it's going to get resolved. How? We don't know. But we have people telling us just the same how, in the midst of all of this chaos, in the midst of all of this crisis, they can see plainly that we just don't need, we, the people of color in this country, we really don't need to get too exercised about it. Wait for instructions while they deal with the essence of the matter. We should wait, and they'll tell us what to do. But it still is interesting that we have a president who clearly has some serious demerits in terms of his competency and capability. We have a party, a Democratic Party, the opposition party, if you will, that hasn't been doing very much opposing of late. But this particular period sees the party rising in opposition to the president and the Republicans. What it is that they're going to sort out, of course, we know it has to do in large measure with the recently released Robert Mueller report, which looked at a number of issues concerning the president, with an eye toward referring the matter, as it has, to Congress, to the House especially, because the House would be like the prosecutor if it should come to the matter of impeaching the president, on two specific grounds. One, did the president collude, or did he order his administrative henchmen to collude with Russia in order to manipulate the outcome of the 2016 presidential election? And the second matter is whether the president acted in certain ways as to suggest that he obstructed inquiry by independent parties as to the conduct, his conduct, as they tried to get close to the truth. Did the president, in his capacity as head of state, did the president obstruct justice? Those are the two big areas that are being investigated and fought over at the moment. We do have, from the Democratic Party, we do have a rallying cry that the president should be impeached, and those impeachment hearings need not wait any longer for any reason, that those impeachment hearings should begin now. And what we began to discuss yesterday was, what are your thoughts about that? On the one hand, Pelosi, for example, most notably argues that, A, the president isn't worth the trouble of impeachment. And then she says that impeachment is going to cause major internal damage, internal bleeding in the United States. It's going to set people against each other. It is going to cause lots of ruptures. It is going to wreak havoc on this idea of democracy. And so, in the long term, impeachment would probably be inadvisable. Because the bigger picture we have to see here is to hold the country together, to not engage in further deterioration in the status of the democracy. That's her view. Of course, as the leader of the Democratic Party, many Democrats also have taken their view, but we're seeing signs that other Democrats are saying, no, we don't agree with that. We should proceed and do so immediately. The situation is so grave, we can't wait, and we can't delay investigations into what has been happening in this country, especially since Mueller's report spells these infractions out in great detail, and the way he spells out these infractions, he spells them out in terms of legal ramifications. What did the president do allegedly that was illegal, having to do with collusion with Russia or obstructing the investigations and obstructing justice? So we had a very interesting day yesterday with people giving various views, and that's the whole idea. There's no right or wrong. It is simply how you view the situation. And what do you point to back up your point of view? This is where we are today, and I'm encouraging you to call 888-874-4888 so we can hear what your thoughts are. Should impeachment hearings begin immediately against the President of the United States on these two particular counts based on the findings of the Mueller report and on other corroborative proof that has come to light because of further questioning and further developments in this matter of possible impeachment? So what's on your mind about that at 888-874-4888? And while you get to your phone, I want to remind you that I am going to be in New York City, in my old town, on the 26th of May, Sunday, May the 26th, at the community church, which is at, between Park and Avenue and Madison Avenue, at 40 East 35th Street. It's really a gathering, as it was last year. It was highly emotional last year, and it was such a joy to just meet and greet and to kind of get together and see faces of people who call and so forth. So I'm looking forward to that. The talk will begin at 1 p.m. Registration is at 12:30. And by registration, I mean just putting your name on a list so I know who you are because you've attended. And there's no fee, no charge at all. It is just primarily to, you know, build community, build this community at Lead Stories. All right, George from New York, you get us started today.
How are you doing, Dutrice?
Okay, thanks.
What I hear is everybody's talking about the Democrats, the Republicans, and Nancy Pelosi or whatever her name is out there. Oh, that is, she just played a real, what you read there seemed like a con game. And why? Because in this society, everything is deteriorating. I mean, the rich are doing whatever they want to do. They can do it. I seen right down the street from where there was a nice small little house, but some rich guy bought a whole lot of this property and everything. So he just demolished that house.
Well, you know, I really am a stickler for us sticking to the subject. If you can, could you come close to addressing the central question that we're hoping to address today, which is, should impeachment hearings begin as soon as possible? And why? Or why not?
Well, they can impeach and they can do whatever I don't see, you know, and I let somebody else get on. I don't see where that's going to help us as regular people at all. It's just going to be another drama. We don't need that. We got drama every day, every minute.
I think you might agree that this is no ordinary situation. The president of the country is under the gun here, likely to be charged with obstructing justice and colluding with a foreign entity.
Yeah, look, we've been hearing that foreign entity for how long? I mean, I was born in that. They was building steel underground, this, all this stuff. The Russians are coming and all this stuff. I mean, what about our particular situation here with these people in office? They got to be gone. Someone's got to relieve us of these type of people. I think Gary was just talking about something. We're running up out the wrong tree. I can take you on a street right now where they ran a pipe. Those trees and everything are rotting right there. There's not a politician saying anything about it.
I get your idea about, you know, the political situation is best looked at the local level. But we do have a national issue. And it goes beyond, you know, the block you live on and the state we live in. But it deals with a president of the country possibly running afoul of the law. And our question is, how do we deal with it?
I'm just going to, because, you know, I'm going to let somebody else get it, because I'm not no genius or anything, but it's just, to me, what's going on internationally, nationally, it's the same old game.
I get your point, and I think a lot of people, myself included, are right there with you. I just wanted us to kind of get this piece of the puzzle looked at from everybody's perspective. What do they
say? What is the American idea of legality?
Of what?
What is legal? The American situation, how does that look universally? I mean, internationally, what the legalities of American minds, what they think about legality, and what other people think about it.
It is not directed at our question today, which I wanted to do because so many people called yesterday and were not able to get on. So I thought we'd extend the discussion today, Friday being Free Your Mind Friday, and you can talk about whatever you want. But I thought we would be a little bit focused on the issue of possible impeachment of the President of the United States and others, as denoted in the Mueller report. But thanks for getting us started today, George. Thank you. Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Willie.
I see things just the way you see it, my sister. It's none of our business. Because they're going to do what it's the same bird, two different wings. So I don't pay no attention. I have no interest in it. Because for us to think that whether to impeach or let it slide, what are you going to impeach him for? I'd like to know.
Well, they have delineated two main charges: obstruction of justice and obstruction of justice is one main charge, and the other is collusion with the Russians to fix, if you will, the 2016 presidential election.
That argument sounds like a valid argument in my judgment, to a complete fool, idiot. This country, right now, you're talking about militarily overthrowing a foreign government, and how many governments all over the world you've assassinated, and now you're talking about collusion?
When we talk about these issues, let's just focus with laser beam precision on the issue at hand. If we expand it beyond where we ought to go, we wouldn't accomplish anything. So the question is, do you think that it is appropriate and in fact necessary to begin impeachment hearings immediately? Or do you think that it is not worth it, as Nancy Pelosi says, that it is not worth impeaching the president? Or do you have an entirely different view?
As far as I'm concerned, it makes no difference. Because this is just a smokescreen. That's what the leaders of this nation always do. The so-called president, like Bruce says, call that president madman. That's what America does, all the time. So he's just exposing it so the world could see America for what it is. That's all. He ain't doing nothing different than nobody else. So, you know, it's not my concern. Our concern is what we are going to do. That's what my concerns are.
Okay.
I have no interest in what they're doing. No interest
at all. Right.
At all.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your contribution.
Listen,
you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm just waking up here, so excuse my voice. But greetings to you, Teresa, and the beloved family. I was itching to get through yesterday because one of the things that's going on, my answer to your question is yes, it's important to document this outrageous behavior. And I think the other charge, I don't know if they'll, besides obstruction, would be, because I don't think they might directly charge him with conspiracy with Russia, although that's in place. That's in your face. Do your research. And they try to spin it off that Mueller cleared him. However, it's more like the fact that he can't bring it to the point of beyond a reasonable doubt. And he also said that all the lying, and he wasn't able to connect with Trump directly, and his written answers were 36 mostly, I don't remember, which his hypocritical self always criticized. But I said it's really important to impeach him and to include, as I said in the previous call, lying, however they would put it in an impeachment clause, the constant and chronic and pathological lying to the public. That was an impeachment on the plate if Nixon hadn't resigned against Nixon, and also his reckless and debasing of the presidency, because I don't see how anyone can't see or be concerned about his racism and xenophobia and fomenting of violence, you know, including...
You know, those may not be impeachable offenses under the law.
An impeachable offense can be anything.
But they do have...
make this point. An impeachable offense, that's the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors. It can be
framed. Nobody knows what that is until
That essentially means that they can frame whatever they define as, that's a fact, as high crimes and misdemeanors. You know, it doesn't have to be an actual crime. Okay, that's the definition, in a manner of saying, of high crimes and misdemeanors. So certainly the lying, the reckless racism and xenophobia, which he foments violence in, I believe it was in December of 21, it was, I think it was 15 or 16, but there's a clip where he called himself joking about killing journalists and the bombs and attempted bombs, and went to CNN, MSNBC, and different journalists. To me, I think the Democrats, that should have been early on in terms of an impeachment, however they say,
here's
article.
The thing. I mean, what we might interpret as an impeachable offense may not be at all. And that is why this report leaves it up to Congress. In fact, the language that Mueller used was, I invite Congress to take the matter further, because Congress now is the entity that has the power to actually put charges against the president, to bring charges against him formally. So it is not a thing where you think something sounds egregious and you think it should be impeachable, but that may not be the case.
Well, actually, the point that I do want to make is that with this posture where he says, oh, Democrats are partisan, I'm just going to ignore all of their subpoenas and requests, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
The only way now, and I've heard a couple reports of this effect, the only way now they can open the door to get in the documents is to frame it as an impeachment. That's why Pelosi said, oh, he's self-impeaching, he's goading us. I don't think she should have said he's goading us. But if you research about what an impeachable offense is, that is entirely up to Congress to frame it as such. And it doesn't have to be an actual crime, and that tells you that they can frame whatever article of impeachment that they find that they define as high crimes and misdemeanors. And there's no choice now, because the only way that they're going to meet the standard of getting the documents and people and witnesses that they want before them, is impeachment will actually bring that to the fore.
So, in your view, they should begin impeachment hearings immediately.
Absolutely. And it's important. And everybody says, oh, that will benefit Trump. No, a stain of impeachment, even if we see the Republicans lie supine, as it were, will hopefully vote them out of office forever and then. But absolutely, yes. And Trump is afraid of that stain on him because he actually made a tweet saying, oh, if you try to impeach me, I'll go to the Supreme Court. That both shows his ignorance and the fact that he does not want that to happen, because that will not be an option. They need to put the stain on him and on the record, because the next president will feel, oh, I can lie whenever I want, including with my Sarah Sanders, et cetera, et cetera. And the racism and xenophobia, the fact that nobody's put that on the table shows, and the fomenting of violence shows that how marginalized we have.
No, I think there are some legitimate reasons that these things have not been raised, because you, as a prosecutor, you come up with crimes that you could see yourself getting a conviction on.
It has nothing to do with
high crimes and misdemeanors and some of these other things.
That's something to research, because the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors and purdah founders, it has nothing to do with actual prosecutable crimes. They could even charge him with his contacts and conspiracy around the Russian, because it doesn't have to meet a standard of an actual crime or beyond a reasonable doubt. And that needs to be understood and fleshed out.
But don't forget, we do have the crimes, alleged crimes, clearly defined so far. Obstruction of justice, and you have the other matter of, what am I forgetting? Obstruction of justice and
conspiracy, to take aid from a hostile foreign power, to take assistance
in order to change the outcome of an election. Those are the two major crimes. Now, if you're going to get into 30, 40 more crimes, you begin the process of watering down your chances.
No, I'm not talking about 30 more. The definition of high crimes, as the founders put it, and misdemeanors, is what the Congress figures, debases the presidency. It does not have to be an actual crime. And that's an important understanding that they need to have. And I'm not talking about 30.
Well, there are several schools of thought on high crimes and misdemeanors, precisely because it is so vaguely defined.
Well, that allows
in terms of the Constitution. And that's what they have to follow. They have to follow the Constitution, with the Congress basically proceeding, if they intend to, with the charges against Donald Trump that are as concrete as possible.
Yes, well, it doesn't get more concrete. It's important to understand the Congress gets to define what they consider, purposely was put as high crimes and misdemeanors. So that's
What I'm trying to say is they can't introduce all these things at the same time and expect a victory in terms of the actual, determination that the president is guilty of crimes. You have to know how to choose your battles. Are you going to spend your time and effort and energy debating this philosophical question that has hounded Congress for decades and decades? What are high crimes and misdemeanors?
It
has different meaning today than it had when it was actually written. So there are all
really
kinds of...
There's only been two impeachments. Both were, did not remove the president, but if you go to the articles of Andrew Jackson, the definition, and this is important to understand, the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors, that's why they put that in place, is what the Congress defines as unacceptable in the presidency. It doesn't even have to be a crime. So it doesn't have to be a crime. The xenophobia, racism, fomenting of violence, everybody needs to call all these representatives and let them know.
But that requires the amendment of the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors. The very term has changed in meaning from the days of Andrew Jackson until today. So that requires, it seems to me, a separate set of actions to define it far more distinctly. What is it that we mean, or what is it that is meant constitutionally? People can't just say, okay, high crimes and misdemeanors. Yeah, I think what he did was a high crime, or I think it was a misdemeanor. It can't happen that way, at least the way I see it.
Therese, that is not correct.
Okay, well, listen to what I'm saying. You know, it's not about being correct. It is that you have a term, and this is the problem with the Constitution, is that in many cases it is so vague. And to get anything changed involves a lot of time and debate and intent. What was intended by this phrase? There are all kinds of interpretations of that very phrase, high crimes and misdemeanors. We can't, because we think it is about time we gain a victory by using the phrase and litigating around a phrase that has not been specifically delineated.
Well, that's why Congress gets to delineate. Now, if Nixon had been impeached, which he was about to be if he hadn't resigned, one of the articles of his impeachment, Jill Weinbanks, wait, let me finish this point, please, who was part of the Watergate prosecutors, one of the articles was lying to the public. Now, they tell us all the time, oh, a president lying to the public is not a crime. Fine. But again, an important understanding is that Congress gets to define high crimes and misdemeanors. Since it doesn't have to rise to the level of an actual crime, yes, they get to say lying. And this guy is in a whole category all his own in terms of lying about anything and everything. And the racism is... And we need to put our foot on the pedal about all the other...
All I'm saying, though, is that these things that you are discussing were not part of Mueller's report.
Well, that's exactly why they need to put it in articles of impeachment. They didn't even have to wait for Mueller's report. His whole behaviors, including...
Yes, I understand. You know, all I keep trying to say is we have specificity in some areas. Let's stick with that. And the matter of how Congress, or if Congress, actually is interested in engaging in a constitutional battle over the phrasing of certain parts of the Constitution to cover things that are not there yet. They're just not there. And this is one of the reasons why people are saying you chance mixing up two or three or four major things, as opposed to the very specific crimes that have been delineated. When you add other stuff to it, and Congress is the charging entity here, it is the investigating entity, you have to make a judgment. Do you wish to use your time in arguments over what exactly those high crimes and misdemeanors mean, or do you want to get on with the matter of prosecution?
It's not about, you're using the wrong term. It's not about prosecution, because
you have to say that, because that's the role of Congress. Congress becomes in a situation where you're talking about impeachment, Congress is the prosecutor.
But they get to, again, if you bring a constitutional scholar on, whether it's Lawrence Tribe or Litwick or any number of people, they will explain to you an important understanding about what Congress sets to define as high crimes and misdemeanors. And there's
I understand it quite well. And my understanding leads me to say that you have, if you are going to argue the issue of what constitutes high crimes and misdemeanors, you already have reduced your chances of litigation success by about 50%, because going to resolve that matter in time. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but you have a fundamental misunderstanding of what is considered high crimes and misdemeanors.
No, not at all. This is something that I have researched myself, and I know how complex it is. It's just a few words, but since the 1700s, and the 1800s, they haven't figured it out.
But they have. And that's why if you bring on a Lawrence Tribe or Elizabeth Holtzman.
I don't have to bring on anybody.
Because you have a fundamental misunderstanding. You're conframing it as if it has to be an actual crime. And you're missing something.
You're appreciating the argument that I'm suggesting. And that is, you have arrived at a point, the country has arrived at a point where the question is, should impeachment hearings begin immediately against the president? Okay, that is going to take time. And you don't have time. You're practically running out of time. They will find a way to frustrate the efforts straight into 2020. Now, when you complicate something with something you know will take a lot of time, and they will use it strategically to stretch it out so that you don't get anything accomplished, but you will be concentrating on something that isn't, at least for the moment, not the main points of Mueller's report. Mueller's report is not about high crimes and misdemeanors. Mueller's report is specifically about two areas of possible prosecution. And in support of these two areas of prosecution, he has documents, he has testimony, he has records, he has everything to shore up the likelihood that it wouldn't be as difficult to get convictions, because here is all of the evidence he has assembled thus far. Now, you want to throw in in addition to these two areas, which are substantially dangerous for the president, actually, the question of high crimes and misdemeanors, and we're talking now about racism and homophobia and so forth, you're just killing your case.
No.
You don't see it that way, but you won't have the time allotted to complete a prosecution if you now complicate the matter after 448 pages of reports and millions, literally, of documents to support these charges, millions of pages, I should say. You're not going to, this is not the time. You have to take that fight on at another time. You can't add it on there because you are jeopardizing your first and initial case. It's that simple.
Well, first of all, if I could respond, the Republicans
let me say this, please. Hello?
Not for Barr to interfere with his opinion, but to put it to Congress. The idea that it would take more time to include lying to the public is not true. These things have been well documented up to this point, and that also includes fomenting of violence. There is links between Trump's rhetoric and the people who picked up.
I understand all of that. I understand all of that. And I'm saying still that if the issue is you want to move expeditiously, you don't want to complicate it with something that you could raise at another time. Go with what you have solid evidence for and pursue prosecution on those grounds. And most everybody agrees that this was a very thorough preparation based on these two charges, which are very significant. Now, if people want to get into the minute details of what else they can tack on, I'm telling you that you're not only complicating matters, but you're reducing the likelihood of a solid conviction on the first 2 points that you're raising.
Yes, but under the abuse of power, which was one of the articles against Nixon, you could include that it doesn't take any more time. And I wasn't specifically including homophobia.
I'm going to have to leave it here because we really want to. The whole point was getting more people to talk today who didn't get a chance yesterday. You know, it's worth discussing, but this is, I think we ought to get on with the question at hand. The question at hand is, should impeachment hearings be initiated immediately? That was just a question. I'm not arguing about high crimes and misdemeanors. I'm asking, should impeachment hearings be commenced immediately? It's a yes or no question. And that's it. We'll come back to the high crimes and misdemeanors question a little later on if it would help. But this is the question we're dealing with today. Should impeachment hearings be initiated immediately? That's a simple yes or no. Okay, thank you. CC from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Thank you so much, Utrice.
Hey.
I must say, it's been a while. I must say that, first of all, you are liked and loved.
And thank you.
And so you just can't help it, and we just are good receivers for the most part. And, of course, the lead story, Leaders, that's L-E-A-D-E-R-S, for being riveted and involved.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My answer is no. I think that it's ideal. Impeachment is ideal. I don't think it's real. the ability to stonewall and steamroll and get bogged down and dragged. And, you know, Lindsey Graham, when I heard him saying, well, the Democrats are going to do this or want to do this, you know, it's a setup. So I think that we need to, it's not the race, it's the pace. We need to pace it out. They could drag it out 2 years, maybe even six. Who knows? I mean, it's just that's the kind of corruption I see exists right now. And the oligarchs, the money involved and the power has the Republicans selling themselves out and low. So I can't, you know, it's emotional impeachment, but not logical at this time. And we haven't had Mueller yet. We haven't had quite a few things that the Democrats are working on, and the new Democrats, and on and on and on.
Okay, so you say no. Do not begin impeachment hearings immediately. All right. David, you're on the air from Brooklyn.
Yes, down your trees. I just want to, for a second, put on my coordinator's hat, because I'm the one coordinating for the 26th at the community church. We want to thank you very much for taking the invitation to come there. And following up on what you did say about the event, I want to thank everyone in advance, those who want to make a donation. That is a voluntary contribution at the event, because this is how we're able to pull off an event like this. And I'm just thanking in advance to everyone who does that. Now, as the question of the day, I'm a person who decides to choose my battles, and this is not a battle I want to do. There are many other things that could be done, but I don't want to get involved in that at all. So impeachment is not a battle that I see that those people in the Congress need to do at this point. There are many other things. I mean, I'm not saying that anything that President Trump did was wonderful and nice and shouldn't be challenged, but this is the battle that I don't want to do now. I have many other battles that I like to go to before I get to that.
Okay, could you mention one or two of them?
Well, the battle that I think that we should do is to stop this imperialism, constant state of war, going in all to these countries and committing the crimes that warfare does commit, dealing with the constant state of spending the funds that come into this country for the purpose of welfare, imperialism, and dealing with that, getting those people who were supposed to be representing us in the Congress to actually represent us, because they are not doing it now. They're representing the ruling class that runs the country, the oligarchy, the people who are running this nation at the very top, and to turn that around and get them to put their attention on serving the interests of the people who live here rather than the ruling class that sits at the very top.
All right. Well, thank you. And that brings us to the end of the program today. It is, as you can see, a very emotional issue. And there's nothing wrong with being emotional about it. Really, I am very emotional about it, except not in the way most people are. I started off by saying that I recognize what is happening now in the country as essentially a fight within white America, and that includes Congress. They're not even extending an invitation to other people to be aware of certain things, and how, in times like these, we really need to exercise our rights and interests as voters and citizens. But that is the fallout from centuries of white supremacy. They're having a problem. This is their problem. And yet it's going to hurt or affect everybody in the country. I'm tired of that ritual. I'm tired of that cycle, which we have to break. We should be involved in all matters of national interest. And we see over and over and over again, you turn on any news organization, and the starkness of the absence of people of color, it couldn't be more real. They're having a discussion among themselves. They're having a fight among themselves. And yet, the entire country is involved. So even when a crisis hits, they still say, we'll take care of it. This is, you know, don't worry about anything. You just kind of wait until we call you. But this is essentially our thing. We'll figure it out. So based on that historic pattern, I check out. Emotionally, I check out. I hate the idea of where the country is going because, you know, you could see things deteriorating long before they actually acknowledge the deterioration. But this is the pattern that really drives me crazy. But I've learned to cope with it, and I've learned to observe. And more than anything, it is at times like this that we are reminded that we need to get busy about our survival. They're taking care of their survival. We'll see each other tomorrow at Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye. Thrill is gone.